weather.
So?
And we were in the red feather. Almost the whole time we were in the red feather for 15 years.
Today is February 26th. It's a little after 11 in the morning, and I'm with Hannah Rotter at the Canyon Plaza Inn, and we're doing more of our discussions today talking about Grand Canyon. So you were talking about Tom Doerr?
Yeah, Tom Doerr. And he was a good friend of Frank of us, okay?
When was this?
And he was always out in the Red Feather with us.
In the 70s?
No, just now before we left the Red Feather.
Okay.
It was, well, we are here now for 20 years ago. Mm. Yeah.
So
it was
80s.
20 years ago.
So in the 80s? Late 80s maybe?
This was for him a good friendship, you know. Mm. He needed some, you know. They went to Flagstaff together, you know, and did all kinds of stuff, you know, and whatever. And he just had fun, but two men together. You know, talk about do something different for the put up here, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was good for him, that's what I'm saying, you know. And he doesn't have really anybody anymore much up here.
It's very difficult.
People left.
If we live long enough.
So Tom went back home. His parents got very old. Huh. And he came from a big ranch in Wyoming.
Oh, my.
His whole family. Big ranchers, okay? And he went back. And you know, the funny part was, he calls Frank once a year, whatever. But he doesn't call anybody either. So it's both, you know.
Yeah.
And we were so close, such good friends, you know. But it has happened, I don't know.
Mm. Be interesting to talk to.
I keep up my friendships, but he doesn't, you know.
It's hard. You have to keep investing in that.
Yeah.
Well, so this is my first question for you. When you came out here in 1969, you must have left a lot of friends back in Chicago.
I left a lot of, actually, all kinds of friends. We lived in Birchwood in Chicago, I had friends there, you know, in the apartments and whatever. We went shopping together and all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice, yeah. And then I had German friends. I left them all behind and came to the Grand Canyon.
And so the first year or two that you were here, was it isolating for you?
It was very isolating. I went a lot to Flagstaff. Whenever I had a chance, I took my car and went to Flagstaff. To go shopping or do something, you know. Pat Harvey was a good friend of mine up here. Her husband was the engineer for Fred Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
So we were a lot together. We went shopping, or even we went to Flagstaff sometimes. And then, God.
So you made friends pretty quickly with
yeah, I make friends here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the time in the park it was different. I don't know. Is it still today? I lost it. Maybe I don't know. But the time when I came first to the canyon, park service people, the ladies, okay, and Fred Harvey were very close. Had a good relationship. Whenever somebody came to the park, they gave the woman a coffee, and most of the time in the Thunderbird Lodge, okay? And Marion Quinn, her husband was a former general manager for Fred Harvey. She had a big silver service. I have on the top too, but I never used it. She brought it always in, and we set it up and whatever. And so everybody came for coffee and tea, and a couple of, perhaps sometimes some biscuits with it, whatever, okay? Just to get to know the person, and the new person could get to know the park's people, you know, the circle for the woman in the park, okay? And it was all, and the same when somebody left, they gave her a party too, you know? So when I came, they gave me a party, you know? And it was nice to meet all kinds of, I don't know, those girls, they were all friendly and nice and, you know, wonderful, you know, easy to talk to and whatever. And it was really, you know, it was beautiful. Never forget, Christmas time, we had the first dance in the Alto Ward, and also what do you call it? we meet every week up in the park.
The Rotary?
The Rotary. The Rotary dance, okay?
What year was that?
Well, we came to the park, I think, 69. Did Frank say it? 69, I believe I came to the park, yeah. And so Frank was, you know, took over the position as general manager at that time. And so I was quite a bit involved with, you know, with a woman sometimes, get a note who worked for him and whatever, you know, maintenance crew and whatever. And, but, so there was a Dee McLaren. She was a park service person. Her husband was one of the big ranchers, you know. And so we always gathered in the afternoon there and made all the decoration. Because I think every year they made the decoration, the Christmas decoration, for the specific, for this tree in the, what they put up in the El Tovar for the Rotary dance, they made all the decorations, you know. So everybody came, even the school superintendent's wife and everybody, okay? Clothes, you know, I mean, it was just wonderful, all those people, you know.
The bear camps.
And I lived right across the street from her, so I just came over, you know. And then we have decorated the tree and, you know, had the first the dance. And this was just, you know, was a big, like a big family type of thing, see? It was different, you know. And for 3 years, I actually then had Fred Harvey had a Christmas party in the afternoon for the children and in the evening for the adults. Okay, and so I made most of the time I made some kind of play and with children. But I did. I took Fred Harvey children, little small, whatever ages, and the first year I dressed them up as international. Each girl represented a different country, okay? And so what I did, they came in and I bought a book, How You Celebrate Christmas Around the World. And so each child who represented this country, a certain country, she read, you know, from the, you know, the whole thing, how to celebrate Christmas, okay, there in the country. Muslim Sweden, she had a wreath around her head with candles on it, you know. And then the girls from Fred Harvey helped me, you know, and to dress them up and all kinds of stuff. We had a place, this, we called the rummage sale, where people brought their clothes, their old clothes, and then the people came and bought some or picked them out or whatever. And I picked that clothes for the kids, you know, different type of thing, sweaters or whatever, you know, old sweater, you know, just to dress them up like this, you
cool.
know.
Because,
and the second year, I had a nativity scene. And what we did, there was Gosa. He was the mule skinner. He was a top guy. And Che Gosa, okay. And he brought me hay and built a stable around the fireplace in the El Tovar dining room.
Great.
You know, it was unbelievable, okay. And so again, I had a girl, actually she was a high school woman, a girl from the Pat Harvey's daughter, the oldest daughter, and she read that story, but, you know, the whole nativity story, okay. And slowly, the first Maria and Joseph came slowly in, walking in, then she started, okay, and we're going into the major, and then you know, till then the wise men and the angel and all, you know. And it was just, you know, that's what we did, you know. And I just want to give something more to a party, little Christmas party, especially bring some Christmas spirit, you know, into the party, into the room, you know. And in the third year, it was a little bit wild, and when everything changed because Epfak moved in slowly and whatever, we didn't do anything wrong, you know. But it was a beautiful time in the park, you know. I mean, I went hiking, I never hiked down, but I hiked on the top, you hiked around, and whenever I had a lot of friends coming from Chicago, and staying with us. And we took a whole day or 2 days, and she's driving the canyon and all kind of stuff, you know. Yeah, it was enjoyable, you know. I enjoyed the park. But then there was some kind of tension done between, in fact, we moved in to Fred Harvey, and because, you know, and then and the employees, whatever. Frank found out that, you know, his president in Chicago, Scott, is going to leave the company probably, or vice president. So he went to, he was in Washington up there for a meeting, and then he met them all and flew back with him to Chicago and stopped there for a meeting and whatever. When he came back, he said, I don't think I will stay either somehow. And for him to work it out, I took the children to Germany for about a month in the summertime, you know. And then when I came back, he said he's going to resign, okay. And then he had a job offer in Colorado, in Denver, as a director of food service for May Company. And so we bought a house in Denver, and later on in the fall, and moved to Denver. And but Anne and Frank, you know, didn't like Denver. The schooling was unbelievable. I mean, Frank has no problems with going to, he was in junior high school at the time, because it was, he could walk to it. But in that time was bused to the south side from Denver. And we lived in the north side. And they had that time that between black and immigration, integration, whatever. So she was bused to the south side, to the black family. And this bothered me. That was just horrible, you know. And she was staying at the corner and out on the street waiting for the bus. And I mean, it just didn't fit, you know, after. And Frank was not happy either on the job. Actually, Medinev wanted to build a big restaurant in one of the top stores here, make the Labrus evening, you know, restaurant, whatever. And it didn't come to this. And met our friend Halvorsen, you know. And again, he was that time building. I didn't know him that well, but Frank did. He was building the pipeline in the park. And head out here in Tucson, he was trying to build a hotel, the Best Western. And then he had the helicopter stations, whatever, you know. And so he was, that time, building some homes in Denver, because he was in construction, originally he was in construction, see, in Seattle, okay, and worked all over. He worked in Alaska and, you know, Hawaii, all over the place, okay. And that time he was building there and came quite often to Denver. And every time he came, he called us to take us out for dinner. And he really tried to, that we would come back to the canyon and manage, so Frank should manage the Best Western. You know, was that built yet?
Well, what were you thinking? Were you thinking that was a good idea?
Mm-hmm. And only for the children were looking, saying, oh, this would be great, you know, and whatever, yeah, I loved my house because we had a beautiful home. And the time that bought, I mean, it was just, it was a tree level, and it was just, I mean, unbelievably beautiful. I just tried to start furnishing the place, really, okay. And, I mean, the carpet, it was a beautiful orange type carpet, in there, heavy carpet.
This was your house in Denver?
The house in Denver, yeah. Mm. And black railings, all metal, I mean, iron railings all over the house. It was more the Spanish style, and I loved it. I just loved the interior. And I was just trying to, you know, get some furniture and whatever, but we would fit in there. When we brought our own furniture, but it didn't, we wanted the right furniture anymore, you know. And, I don't know. Frank was not happy, and the children were not happy, so I wasn't happy either. I mean, I just bought the price too then. I mean, I didn't like it, you know, but the situation, more or less. And Yeshua came back. He offered us to come in as a, you know, be a partner in the you know, maybe you want to invest some money, you know, in the place, more or less, and we did, okay. And came back, and I started working in the square too. I took over the housekeeping job, and then later with the gift shop on the side. We were building then the restaurant was not built yet, the big building. They had just the one building there, the one hotel building, the patio units, that's all that was there. And the big building was supposed to be ready in June. But that year there was so much snow, they couldn't get the fundament in. You know, in the place.
67?
I forgot when it was. I mean, I don't keep years, to be honest with you.
No
I
worries.
Just don't. Well, 69, we came to the Kenmare War, about 3.5 years in the park.
Oh, I'm sorry, not 67, that would be right. It would have been 70.
And then we went, well, Frank knows the dates. He knows exactly the dates. And so we had to pass. That time, Oki Lodge was still there. So for us, for our, you know, guests to get dinner, we had to pick up a little van. We had, you know, bus these people back and forth to the Moki Lodge, and, you know, because our place was not ready in June. And we were in the books, in the Best Western books, and we couldn't change it, you know. So we opened up in November, I believe. I think this was November late, you know. And but, you know, we were there for, again, I think 3 years. What did Frank say? 3 or 4 years. We got 3.5 years.
Sure, he gave me a specific year.
But we had problems. We had a fire later on. And then had a restart again. Well, we had a film company that time staying with us. And they started a lot of films. There was a whole room with films, with rolls of films in there, whatever. And I think maybe it started in the housekeeping department in the storeroom that one girl didn't take the trash out or whatever. It could have been there, but we never found out really. We really don't know what happened, you know. And but 2 people died in there, in the Best Western at the time. That was a woman and a Japanese man. And the woman was actually on her honeymoon. Her husband jumped from the second floor because he was worried about his car, but he had parked below, and took the car away, left his wife in there, and the fire went up so fast because of the film stuff in the corner there, you know.
What was the film there for? Who was doing the film?
They were filming the Canyon. They made a movie, but I don't know what it was anymore. They made some kind of movie up here. It was a movie company.
Okay.
And then Frank tried so hard, he knew there is somebody in there. And he tried and tried to get in there, but the park service over, they hold him back. They actually put him in handcuffs because so he couldn't get in. You know, to take them, because he knew there is somebody still in there. I know where the husband was, we never heard about him and nothing, okay? And about this fire, this was unbelievable, you know? It was right on Mother's Day. We had started the night of the Mother's Day, okay, in May, okay? That was just unbelievable. So, you know, this put us back again because a whole building was gone. We rebuilt it right away, but still, it's money-wise and everything has pushed us back, you know. And then with the year before, or the 2 years before, with the restaurant not being completed on time, and with all we had to pay a lot of money back and whatever, all kinds. So it was not good, you know. The only thing that helped us was the gift shop. That time we had a lot of flying tours from Las Vegas. We brought, actually, Seibold came in as a partner from Las Vegas. And he then brought his business in, okay. And so there were a lot of Germans, and they heard about Indian jewelry. So I was in a gift shop every noon time, and we sold bunches of Indian jewelry. Unbelievable. And actually, the gift shop who saved us where the money was, okay, and the whole place, you know. And, but later then, Bob Thurston came over and talked to Frank a lot. He was not happy with his little restaurant, with his little motel, more or less. And he always dreamed to get something more, you know. And he always was looking up to Frank, maybe he could do something, you know. And so it came to a really a head down there, you know, between the partners, okay, more or less. And so what he did, he actually fired Frank down there, you know. And that was just unbelievable. Then and Halvorsen and Seibold and those two stick by sticking together. And then our another partner was Pat Sullivan, Diane Sullivan, and he was the lawyer. And he would have quite the investment. They were good friends, you know, always, and they still are. But Pat and Diane were so upset about it that they said, I'm going out. They left them. Took their money, everything out, and slowly too, and left. And it came to a really head, okay? And we took over the Red Fat then. But it was a down route. Frank didn't know what to do. And he wanted to go to Phoenix, had already a job in Phoenix set up where he wanted to go. And he said, you stay up here. Because maybe we get a red feather, and I told him, so I went one day to Flagstaff, and I told him, I said, Frank, we do not stay in here, we will not get a red feather, you know. There were another people behind it who didn't want us to have it and whatever. And actually, they wanted us to leave the park, to hear the area, you understand, somehow. And I convinced Frank to stay. He didn't take the job, he helped finish up. The Red Feather was just building on the homes on the outside. And so he helped finish this up. And then, you know, we took it over. And made out of this Red Feather, you know, a Quality Inn, and built a restaurant. Had a business unbelievable. You know, we had fly-in tours, they all came to us. Because our food was excellent. We even had to build then the steakhouse behind it. See, there was only the front built first. And then we built the backside, you know, another room, another building there. And we called it the steakhouse. Frank Ward actually put the steakhouse in there. Had the separate kitchen and everything. But then we had so much business. It was impossible to separate it. We needed a whole room for the luncheon tours. We had sometimes 1,000 people a day, you know. And so we had to really, then for open up in the evening and make a steakhouse and have a different entrance even, you know, was there. But we never did it. So we just kept at one restaurant then, see, for the evening too, you know. And then the Legion, American Legion, came to Frank. And it was part of WorkCamp, Mr. WorkCamp, you know, and Buford Belgard, who really were behind. He had a Legion, old Legion building right here, where actually a pool area is, okay. And it was run down. Somebody had at one time a Mexican place in there just to make a little bit money. But the post himself, the Legion Post, couldn't go anywhere. They couldn't go to any convention as there were no money. There was nothing there, okay? And I never forget, he was sitting there, you know, and Frank said, well, give me the property, and I'm going to build a hotel there, and I'm going to put you a beautiful suite in there, and you can have your meetings, everything you want, okay? So he did. He put a suite in there with bar and everything. And they bought actually two rooms combined, okay? And so it was really beautiful, you know? So they had their meetings, and when once a year they have their big dinners, and so they had used the restaurants, we set it up for their dinners. And then on top of it, because the property where it sits is still Legion property. We rented it for 100 years. They gave us a lease for 100 years. And so we pay rent, actually, for the lease. And from this money, they travel now all over, with going to, you know, conventions, even giving money for school, you know, when they graduate, the kids graduate and all those things, okay? And so it was a good move for them, see, you know. So it worked out both sides, you know. See? And so this was our, you know. And then later, with Red Feather, well, this was the least Red Feather, you know. But then Bill Thurston, Bob Thurston, the grandfather, who actually one time bought all that land. And made, you know, and made all the, you know, and he died. He was a...
What do you remember about Bob?
Bob was a beautiful, beautiful gentleman. I call him a gentleman. He was a rancher, more or less. He was everything, okay? I mean, he was the town mayor from Williamson, whatever. He could be, you know, he was not a big man. But he had a lot of energy, okay? And he was so proud when Frank built it. I never forget, he was outside when Frank said, how about I need a restaurant, okay? And he said, so both were, you know, they were measuring by foot, the feet, how far they can go for this land outside for the restaurant, okay? And then, you know, It was crazy, okay? It was old-fashioned, you know. And so he was so proud of this restaurant, you know. He was sitting every day in there, he does coffee and everything in the morning. And it was just, you know, when he saw the business, he couldn't believe it. He just couldn't believe it, okay? And so he was a really wonderful, very, very nice old man, okay? And then he had his son, Bill. Well, when Bob died, Bill, you know, was then in charge of the family. And he saw then one day he came in and he said he cannot manage all this land. Because, well, he had leases, the domes were built, you know, talk about, then with the land deals, what he did on there, all over the place. And he couldn't handle it. So he took on a management company, and it was Mays, the Dings Hotel here, the Holiday Inn. He built it. It's his place. So he got from the Red Feather. He got this land, more or less, to build his a hotel on it. See? With his whole dealings, what it is. It was just dealing, you know. And they brought the management and this, and so our lease came up again. And but they wanted a manager. They did not want, they wanted to accept that we have leased the place. See? He wanted more money. They want money. It was about money. So they saw all this money, but you know what came in. What they saw is a lot of money. What came in with the tours, that was not their business. For our business, had nothing to do with them. Okay, it was all ours. Okay, I mean making this place to a quality inn, had nothing to do with them at all. You know, see. But they saw it somehow. They wanted people to stay. You know, so. What happened was then, you know, so it came to a head and they left the place. We gave it back to him, the whole thing, you know. and even Frank had a border company and everything. And that was separate. He should never have given this up, really. You know, he didn't have to, but he gave everything back to him. And then we had our hotel, but we built it where the pool is, from the Legion. Yeah, we had 77 rooms. And then Halvorsen came to us, and he said he and Seibold want to separate somehow. Okay, so we were still the partner in there, and he didn't like that. He said they would like to pay us out. In the meantime, we found out that Halvorsen actually had bought all this land from the mine company. See, the uranium mine up in the canyon, okay? This was this land, this land here belonged to them. This is what they had bought from Bob Thurston one time. They had buildings here, barracks here, where they housed their people and whatever, see? When we came to first to the canyon, we saw, when you drove through here, there was a gas station and the Red Feather little motel there. And behind were barracks. And this belonged to the mine companies. They had the house that people there. And in the meantime, the mine was closed, and the stuff was just sitting there, see? And they sold the land. And I'm not quite sure how Halvorsen, he always found out everything. And he bought all this land. And that's why the IMAX sits on there, it belongs with it. This is all this land there, see? And so we said to Halvorsen, well, we do not want our money back, okay? Because the stocks went up high, okay, more or less. You rather give us land here. And so we traded our stocks in for this land and started then building our hotel. That's how we came to this hotel then, see? And so, but they could build for 4 years. Three years they couldn't build. They were fighting us again. In court, and then with the county. And it's just a big mess. 3 years, we paid so much lawyer fees and stuff, it was unbelievable. And then after 3 years, finally, it was just, you know, even either the Frank should talk about this, all that stuff, you know. He didn't, huh? Our daughter Anne came, and she took it over with the lawyer. And we went back and forth with the county, with the supervisors, okay, whatever. And then after 3 years or whatever, we finally got the okay, we can build here. It was crazy. I mean, I'm not quite sure where the hatred and all that stuff came from, okay? But there was still the management company was behind it. They did not want us to build, okay? See, from the Red Feather, okay? I imagine Palverson or they were behind too, you never know, okay, you know. But Mace was the guy, okay, who fought us to the nail, okay. And it was very hard on us, you know, because, you know, the meetings were every 3 months one time and whatever, you know. You go back to the county, okay, and bring all the lawyers in, and they had all their lawyers and back and forth. It was just a big mess, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
But then they finally settled.
We didn't settle, we sued the county.
Ah.
Frank sued the county, it never happened before. So, I don't know, it was just, he can tell you more about it. That was the mess.
Wow.
Yeah, we sued the county.
So were you building at that time, or was construction stopped?
No, you couldn't build it. Huh. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys had left.
The Red Feather.
The Red Feather. So you had
and
a little hotel.
And we had only the 7 ohms. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And then once that was done, then you went ahead and built.
Yeah, start building. Yeah, mm-hmm. But then there came down a time where the money was at it floating. Okay, you couldn't get your money, bank money, loans. Okay, it was a little bit tight with the banks. Okay, and so what Frank did, Frank was, you know, from the first day we came to the United States. Okay, as immigrant. Okay, Frank took every penny he could save. He put in stock market. He always bought some stocks, bought this, okay? He started out like this, okay? Bought, you know, 10 stocks or 20, you know, whatever. And that's how we built it up, his account somehow, you know? And it was, you know, it was just, I don't know, the European way, you know? I mean, maybe, you know, we felt different about things, going through a war and all those things, losing the money in Germany one time, you know, like 1948, when all of our money in Germany after war was gone, and every person got 45 marks to start out with, okay? I mean, Tom, you have to think about it, you know? So we had to, it was in us, you know. We grew up in that situation. So when we came to this country, and you want to succeed and want to not just be an employee somewhere, okay, when you had a little more, you know, different plans for your life and all in the future, you know. Yeah, so that's what we did, you know. So Frank had quite, you know, so he sold all his stocks, most of them, so we could start building here. And then the money came through in the bank. Actually, we didn't really need it, you know. So, but that didn't matter, you know, didn't matter, you know. He built it himself up again, you know, so.
And we got the loan now, but we just sold out all our stocks.
Yeah.
So what do we do?
Yeah, well, it was okay, you know, see?
Hmm.
You know, so we had floating money and all that stuff. We could do whatever we wanted to, you know. We built this whole place in section. We built it first like an L shape, you know, the hotel as an L shape, then the restaurant building here. And then a year later, we closed it here, this on this side, you know. And then then we had a patio out here. And we served guests at the evening with umbrellas, you know, a patio. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember if you were here. Mm-hmm. And then the wind came sometimes and then the whole thing blew out. But it was planned for a roof, for an atrium, say. But money, you know, if you go slowly, you cannot do it in one step, you know. I mean, we didn't have a company behind it. It was private built. We built it with our own money, mm-hmm. Okay, you know. And so then later, I think it was about 3 or 4 years later, we put a roof on it, you know.
Nice.
Yeah. And then we started to plan what we're going to put in here, you know. Again, Frank planted a different restaurant in there. But we had the exhaust system and all that stuff. It didn't work really, you know, wouldn't have worked really. We had to put pipes in there and stuff, you know, whatever. And so we just let it go and thought, and we needed, you know, we have a lot of tours in the evening, and they love to have be private, you know. And so we have most of our tour business in the evening out here. And like we have a lot of Japanese, you know, tour company, they love it to sit together, you understand, you know. Then it's more or less overflowed, you know, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But we put a jacuzzi in there, people love the inside the jacuzzi, okay. And the bar we put in there, sometimes we have the bar open, sometimes not, you know. It all depends on the business, you know, so. So you float with the business, you know. I mean, you know, it's management, yes, but you want to be how you want to do it, really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody else maybe has everything open and want to know if they make money or not. It doesn't matter, you know. We don't feel this way, you know. You go float with the business, you know. So, yeah, so that's more or less.
Wow, amazing. How has the business changed with the Grand Canyon West, the Skywalk coming in?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
You don't know yet, okay. I know it. I was out there a day before they opened up. Just so happened I had relatives here, and they heard about it in Germany. It was very heavy advertised, okay. And we drove. Actually, went into the caverns, Grand Canyon caverns, and stopped there first. And they said, well, you go on to Peach Springs. And from there is a road going in. And the road was a dirt road, was not built up. Tom, we drove. It was unbelievable with my new car, my good car, okay? And then we came all the way to that paved road, about that time the road was paved, between Kingman and the Hoover Dam, where you took go up. And this one stretch was paved. But when you came all the way on top, okay, going along the canyon, was all zigzag and gravel. And Tom, that was, it's about 25 miles to get there, okay? And let me tell you, that was the horrible road. You can, the dust was flying, we didn't even see anything anymore. But we went ahead, okay? And when you come there, there is no Grand Canyon yet. It's a old big plateau. I will bring you there, a big plateau. And then they have some kind of building there, fenced in, and you know, where you park the car, and a gift shop, whatever it is, and like a place where you keep, where the people can, you know, come together, whatever, between tours. And then comes a bus. You have to go and buy the bus ticket, and you know, and drive, then you get to the canyon by bus. And then from there, we were there, you know, and what bothered me most, you know, you come with the bus there, there's a thing that the sidewalk where you go over, you know, to the place, you know, where they have that, I call it like a spoon. It's just like you put a spoon on it. You know, Tom, that's how it is. I mean, it's crazy. But here, well, there's a spoon. This is what it is. You know, they have all those screws in the rack, and Tom, and then here, it goes straight down. Tom, what bothers me most is, I know when I hit my house, you know, I had a house here, where we live now, right on here. And when Mace, when he built this little suites here, not a hotel over there, the suites right next to the under us here. When you go this road down here, there is below there some little hotel there. This goes actually with Holiday Express. But he built this for himself on the side without telling his partner, who was a Japanese out of Las Vegas at the time. The Japanese man came over one time and said, who does this belong to? And when he found out, he said, you go to hell, to the mess. You pay me out. You don't screw a Japanese people like this, okay? And so when he built it, this hotel, he chopped my hill down where my house was sitting on it. It was actually still Thurston's land. Okay, you understand? The frontage there. And when he chopped that hill down with the big stones he took out, my house, I saw there comes a trail through my house. See, this whole area is all, a hill is connected. All the stones are connected. You understand? And so when you, and this here, put things in there, that loosens up. With the time, it will more and more loose, and it's going to fall down. They have already had put more things in there. Did you ever think of this? I'm practical, I know exactly. When you put here, look at this, and here is straight down. They loosened up the dirt. You can tell me what you want. Okay, to hang something like this on there. Because it goes straight down. That's all connected. You know, the county supervisor in there told me, I told him about it. I said, you know, I have a pool in my house. And whatever. I said, you know, I have to go out of my house, jump out of my house because I can't stand it. Because like a drill coming through, okay? And he said, Hannah, I'm surprised your house is still standing. That's what he told me. And then, and it's the same here. Just wait and see.
And then...
They want to build hotels out there, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think there's anything there yet.
Golf course they want to build.
There's nothing there, you know.
Tramway so down to the river.
So I'm afraid, you know. Their business is the river down there, you know. Mm-hmm. I know Vision Airline and that time Scenic. I know Scenic is in Las Vegas and still there. And they fly in by helicopter and plane all the time, you know, bring people in there, whatever. And this is their business, okay? I just heard that the Wallapai Indians, who belongs there, okay, have actually thrown out the Chinese who actually built it. Okay, they want to go on their own now. Because again, money-wise, okay, they want to have their own, their money, okay? They see the business and they want the money, okay? And this will be the end for them too, I believe. They cannot, when I was out there, but you couldn't even use a toilet. And it was a day before the opening. It was, everything was blocked. They had a building with about 6 stools or whatever in there. You couldn't use one. Everything was blocked. There was such a smell in there, you couldn't even go in there. And it was, and another, you take a second bus where they feed lunch, and there where the building is, okay? It's a beautiful building sitting there, okay? Yeah. They had their luncheon and a hangar, more or less, and a chest, you know. But then there was a big building that was like this, and you could look down the canyon somehow. And this building was the toilets in there, and it was horrible. And I thought, my God, we open up now tomorrow. What are you going to do? This is the Indians. But and that's not the day, it's tomorrow.
And what are your thoughts on what's happening in Tucson now? Because in this interview...
Come, I don't want to go into this.
Okay.
This Tucson, I don't know what you're going to do, okay? Mm-hmm. Again, that's all money-making, okay? But it comes down to it, okay? They promise the people housing. Look at this, what they end up now. They buy cheap trailers, that's what they want to bring in. Okay, they had big plans for the people. They built houses. You know, apartments, all kinds of stuff, okay? And now they put over there in the park, behind the store, there are a couple of trailers. So people can for show, to can see or decide what they want to do. Cheap trailers. Tom, tell me, I know I lived in a trailer in the when it gets really cold up here because we sit on a high, you know, up high and we can get a lot of snow. They pay more for the fuel. And electric and all that stuff. It's higher up here anyhow. I mean, you know, this is a cheap way now. So Halvor's always said $250,000. What is that? It's nothing. You know, when he would offer a couple of millions to start the people out with, okay? I mean, what can you buy for a house today? How much does it cost? What can you buy for 25? They talk about $25,000. What can you buy for 25? You cannot even buy a piece of wood like this.
Well, it's just interesting because it sounds like this has been going on a lot longer than I thought. Meaning, when Franz came out to work with Seibold and Halvorsen, and then that
kind of didn't go so good, so he's working with Thurston, and then that, and then Mace, and it, so it seems like there's been a lot of struggle, you know, for a long time.
Yeah, that is a long, long, I mean, it's just, I don't know what it is, okay? It's just, you cannot make friends, really, okay? You almost cannot trust anybody, you know, more or less. Everybody's on his own, okay? And they talk about, oh, they make a lot of money, we don't make a lot of money. I mean, you know, we take care of our employees. We got a piece of land, be careful what we bought from the work camps, okay? And we are the only one who build the apartments. You know, where our employees can rent, okay? We have dormitories. When somebody wants to live in one room, but the rooms are beautiful. They have shower and everything in it. Microwave in the one room, okay? So they don't have to go out to take a shower somewhere else. They have it right in their room. Because in every room is a shower, okay? And then we have apartments, one bedroom apartments. Now we built it another building with upstairs two suites. I mean two bedroom apartments, and downstairs we had to have some studios, okay? So people can buy one room, okay? Can the shower, everything beautiful done in there, okay? I hope you've seen them. And you know, and they hide the bed to give more space on the kitchen, everything. And so we can rent one room for one person, you know. But they did not, the rest of them do nothing. They take their money out and whatever, you know. Halvorsen always takes his money out. He never invested a penny in this place here. He never did. When we built the Squire, everything was on lease. Everything. From the furniture to the dishes, everything on lease. It was done. They don't put anything in the place. And when they make some money, it's taken out. The helicopters out there are all on lease. That's how they operate. And Frank, this was one reason Frank couldn't work with him. He would never see anything like that. You know, you don't operate like this. I mean, that's the American way, maybe, but not our way. Not our way, never has been. You know. So I don't know, you know.
And it seems like you guys have employees that have worked for you for their entire lives. That shows a dedication.
They came to us in the Red Feather, and they are still here with us, you know. Some work here for 30 years now with us.
I was talking with Rosie yesterday, Acosta, yeah. We did the same.
Yeah.
And there's a loyalty.
The time when we opened up the Best Western, actually, okay, all the employees, the waitresses came to us. They all quit Fred Harvey. They couldn't work for MFAC. I mean, MFAC was, they brought their own people in, whatever, but nothing was good enough for them, okay? So all the old employees came to us to the Best Western. It worked there, and then when we started the restaurant here, they came back to come with us over here.
That says something about, about you guys.
Yeah, they all were with us, okay? Mm. Then slowly they retired and left, you know? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then when they got old, you know, there was, for instance, Scotty. She was from Scotland. She immigrated from Scotland. She was real Scottish, a real character, I tell you. And she was, I knew her from the El Tovar. They were all working in the El Tovar dining room, see? Tony, she moved later to Williams, and just a few years, she had a big write-up in the newspaper from Tony. She was one of the employees of us, okay? And then June Wadsworth, the Indian from Parkland there, okay? She was for many, many years, she was in the park working, in the El Tovar, and then she worked with us in the Best Western, and then she worked in the Red Feather with us, okay? And later she left, okay, you know? But we were talking about many years, you know? And we had a good relation all the way through, yeah, all the time.
What do you remember about Buford?
Buford?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Buford was a wonderful man. I remember him, you know, he ran the laundry. He and his wife ran the laundry and the dry clean in the park for Fred Harvey. in the park for Fred Harvey. Fred, at time had been at the time they had just brought new machines and everything in it and made a beautiful place, you know. And then it's down there where now your the package things is, where you pick up packages. This place there, and then. EMFA came in and closed everything down, and every hotel had their own laundry. And then later they found out how stupid this was, and they put another building again up, I believe, where they have a central laundry, girl. That's what I heard. I mean, I'm not quite sure.
That's right.
Yeah, and because it didn't work. And so Buford was fired from them. And so he went to Williams, and for him to start a business, the Legion, because he was a Legionnaire for many, many years, and he was trying to keep that post up here going somehow, okay, with the old building, you know, at the time. And he said...
And was that Josie Lopez who was running the little Mexican
restaurant? Later, he went in there. And so Buford had built it, they gave him a piece of land, actually, okay, a piece of
was
land.
Was it Thurston?
No.
Who gave him the land?
No. There is a piece of land with our suite sitting on there now, mm-hmm. Our suites. And what happened, when we left the square, okay, Halvorsen had given us a double wide trailer. We lived right over here in a trailer, okay, for... And I never really lived in there because there was an apartment in the Best Western. There where now the front desk is, that was actually a back apartment there. Hmm. There were two rooms in there, a living room and a bedroom, a beautiful bedroom, and a bathroom, and then another room, okay. And we lived there in the winter time. We didn't go home because it was much, the trailer was just, you know, to heat. Then there was too much furniture in there. I came from a house and put my stuff in there. It was almost impossible to put everything in, you understand? And so Buford had gotten from the Legion a piece of land right next to the Legion, actually up there, okay? And he built a house there. A little house. It was just two bedrooms and a little living room and whatever. When Buford went down to Williams, okay, he needed money to start a business, a dry cleaning business. So he wanted to sell this house. And we heard about it. He had promised this to somebody else, okay, but what happened was, we were desperate because we had to move out of the trailer after we left the Best Western, all the same time. And so he came and he said he's going to another guy. When he doesn't have the money, he needs the money. Then he would love that we take it, okay? You know, more or less. And that's what happened. Frank had the money, we always had money, okay? And so we bought his house. And we moved into the small house. And then with the years, whenever we built it, we extended more room, the rooms. Everything was pushed out, okay? So the whole house we pushed, you know, see?
Just
and made it, and put even inside in there, see? Mm-hmm. And so it was a beautiful home, okay? And but then later when we built this place and the land and we have our house, then the Red Feather built the second hotel there, next to the Holiday Express there. And my house was sitting right there, you know. And we thought, well, this land is too valuable, okay. We're better, you know, maybe. So we put the suites up. We tore my house down. With everything, we just had built a new kitchen, a big kitchen, beautiful, high, you know, Katrina ceiling. And we threw everything out, and built it in the suites.
Boy, it's just how from place you like to place you like to place you like, saying goodbye.
The town, but we didn't believe at all.
Mm.
I'm not surprised that I sometimes think, you know, the world goes to end, you know. Well, it's too much for too much tension, everything
amazing.
Else.
Yeah.
You know. It was a lot of tension between, you know. Because like when we are lifting the trailer, Halvorsen came, you know, 2 weeks later right to us, we have to leave the trailer. You know, talk about where you're gonna go. The kids are in school, okay, still, okay. Tom, it was just that this was really, you know, tension, you know. Your nerves, you know, sometimes couldn't take it, you know?
Understood.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, I did a lot of moving.
So when did you first meet Bob Sutton?
Who?
Bob Sutton.
Oh, I met him a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know him that well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I knew him, sure I knew him, but that time, as I started with the Red Feather, when we moved into the Red Feather, and I fought him before, actually, and but there was a time what we called the hippie season, you know, the real hippie. And there a lot of girls, quite a few girls and guys, okay, they were in that club, okay, the hippies, okay. And
was Bob in that club?
Hmm?
Was he in that club?
Bob was one of them also,
mm-hmm.
yeah. They all, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I know from Frank, when he was general manager in the Canyon, he had a big problem there because he came into the Bright Angel fireplace and was sitting in the evening around the fireplace. And Frank didn't like it because he had a lot of guests there. You know, they went for the restaurant and whatever, and all those hippies sitting around, you know? And yeah, it was, I mean, yeah, they lived here. And later they took Bob Sutton, he started then at the trash company, you know. He and the girls, one of them, I could have forgotten her names. She is now actually, she's in the park. She is with, music festival. She's one of the music festival.
Is that Renee?
Who works for them.
Okay.
I forgot now her name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they are still around somewhere, some of them, you know. Oh yeah, but these were the hippie groups, you know. Yeah.
And Tom Jones?
Tom Jones, yeah. All the different ones, you know. Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Then for all them things here, the ones who run the 7 Mile Lodge, what is his name? God, forgot it. It's crazy. He was on the board of here. God, what is his name? Sometimes
sorry, no worries.
For the forget the name sometimes.
And I apologize, I'm not my job.
Uh-huh. Don't ask me right now, I don't know, I have too many names in my head.
No worries, no worries.
Yeah. Well, it was quite a big group, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking of Pat Hovey.
No, Pat Hovey, no, she didn't move to Phoenix. She was a family. Actually, you know Eric?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Eric is her son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Pat Hovey, her husband, was the engineer for Fred Hovey.
So was he working here when Franz then?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. They were here.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually, you know, he designed most of them, of the motels and stuff and they were building, okay. He was not just made that, you know, talk about, he had universities.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the wartime, Second World War, and then when he came back, he went back to university and finished up, okay. That was, he came from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
They were from Michigan. They still have a house in Michigan, a cabin on the lake where they go out every summer.
Hmm.
And
yes.
And they had three girls and their son, you know, Tom Harvey, who lives in the Indian Reservation out there. He always, they could never change him. Tom, somehow, he is a guy who loves nature. You cannot put them in a place somewhere, okay? And I think he was married to an Indian girl, you know. And he loves just that outdoors. And his father, you know, couldn't do anything with them, okay? But he always kept them busy with this kind of company, you know, to give them this job and this job, you know, and to help there and do this and that. You know. So, but then Sue is married to Eric, okay, you know, and then Nancy lives in Tucson, and Pat married a ranger, Park Service, and they live right now in Denver. And this is the Harvey family there, you know, yeah. But Pat, she was older than us, more or less some years, okay. But Pat still comes up here and stays with us here. She lives in Phoenix, you know, Vern died.
I hope we'll get a chance to talk to her too.
Yeah, Vern died some years ago. Mm. And she is just a very, very nice woman up here.
Yes. Yeah. Nice.
I had, we were very close, we still are, you know. Yeah.
So it seems like along with the people who didn't get along, there were a lot of people that you did get along with, and you still do. That's neat.
Yeah, well, I got along with everybody, really, you know. Mm. I mean, I don't remember anybody who I didn't get along with, you know, who I knew somehow. And, it's just right now with this out here, I don't know what I do with those people. They are all newcomers, new people. I don't even know who they all come from. Mm. And each one wants to have something to say or whatever. And is more or less involved, okay? Mm. She was a bit, you know, whatever. Mm. But she left it. They actually voted her out, remember? You know, Tom, whatever we build it here, okay? We build it for a future. And build it fire station here, okay? I mean, do you know the building, okay? They have bedrooms in there, everything else, okay? Where people can stay and all that stuff, okay? I mean, when you want to build something, you build it right, okay? And you think about how it will work out for the future, okay? But they want to build here, it's just a bunch of crap somehow. You know, all they want to do is come in here and make money. I don't know about the Italian company who supposedly has a big company in Italy, okay? What do you do in the Grand Canyon? You know what they want to do here, you know what I'm talking about? It's just because of money somehow. They can tell me what they want to come down here, you know? That's what it is.
Yeah, I was surprised. I just heard that Zantera, I think it was Franz that was telling me that Zantera now is going to buy the Grand.
They bought a Grand, yeah. They bought a Grand.
Yeah, and I was surprised that the Italians didn't buy it.
Oh, did they? Yeah, did he fell? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's curious. It's like, I don't know.
I have no idea why they didn't buy it, you know. Mm. But I'm afraid Harvey, they want a place out here, I don't know, because Tucson, the seagulls are growing, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Tom, I have nothing against that they would build back here. They have to, where the sewer is somehow farther back, they have this land, okay, but I'm not quite sure what the name is of this piece of land, whatever. And when they would build houses, you understand? I mean, why not, okay? But taking here, you know, a whole section, whatever, and want to build food stores and stores and all kinds of stuff, this is a bunch of bullshit you talk about. I mean, it's always was wilderness. I know for my family who comes, we have a lot of people coming through the whole year, okay? They love to come up here, go for a walk and see the wilderness, see this, you know, and you don't want to go to want to have a city up here. There's enough cities and feet all over the place, okay? Why would you want to build up a city here in the Grand Canyon? Park Service doesn't want it. And then the one problem is the water. You know, I told you, when we want the Red Feather, we attract the water in from the south. We had to go all the way to what do you call this place between Flagstaff and Williams? The stop, where the stop is.
Belmont.
We hit a truck all the water from Belmont. We had four trucks running day and night to support the whole area here, okay? Here the Tosian era, okay? With water. And there's a tank right across, you know, up here on the hill, the big tank, where the water went in, okay? And from there then, and all the trailers and all the things, okay? Before, so and you know, Frank was really, he never made, we didn't make money, we didn't raise the money for those people. You know, we had, it was just, you know, a payment what we need, because we had to buy the water, you know? And, but I tell you, and now then I think through the university or whatever, the time, they found when the computers came out, they found somehow that up here there is water actually, okay? We never knew there is water, okay? And so, actually again, Halvorsen took a chance to drill on his property down here, and sure enough had water, okay? But then he drilled a second well right behind here, and this well doesn't produce that much water. So I don't know what's the low below there. You know, it is said that the Havasu Indian claim it. It's their water. That there is a river maybe somehow below going by and coming out as a waterfall down by the Havasu, there where the water comes out. So I don't know. Nobody really knows about it. Okay? So, but when it's a river, I mean, there is always a water. But when it is only a packet of water, I don't know where the water comes into it. We don't know, you know. It's 3,100 feet down or whatever. You know, so what gonna, how are you going to find out? So when they want to build, where is the water coming from? I don't know. Trump has a lot of questions, okay? And I don't know who can answer them. I have no idea, you know. But, you know, people will come up here, they want to see the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon, it's a national park. It's one of those famous national parks, you know, advertised all over the world, okay? You know, I know from in Germany, we had a friend of ours, okay, and he worked one time for television in Germany, and then he went on his own, you know, as a photographer, okay, and he was up with us so many times, and he took pictures and made films and whatever, okay, and showed them then in Europe, okay, all over, okay, and he sells them for advertisement, you know. He goes actually around the whole world. He does all, everything, you know, for the whole world. And I tell you, he loves, he said, this is the most beautiful area up here that you can find, okay. Why take this all away and make, you know, take all the trees down, you have to chop stuff down and whatever, make their big, I don't know what they want to do, build up there something, but I don't know what, I don't think what belongs to the Grand Canyon. Doesn't belong, it takes away the beauty from the Grand Canyon, you know? I don't know how you think about this.
I'm gonna hold my.
Don't you want to go? I mean, you know, I see it for my family. When you want to go shopping, or let's go to day for Flagstaff. Go shopping there. You know, go away from here and just go to Flagstaff. Or people go to Phoenix, go shopping. Okay. But why would you want to shop in the Grand Canyon?
You had a real good point. People come here for the wilderness.
For the wilderness, for the area. They don't come here. They don't want to shop here. They don't. We have two food stores here. We don't need more. you know, but, I mean, how much do you need for the people who live here, more or less? Do you want a big food store? So, because there is one in Williams, a Safeway, you know. So what's wrong? Drive three-fourths of an hour, okay? And when you live in Chicago, when you live in big cities, you drive too. And then another thing that bothers me is with the employees, really. I mean, down here, there's a lot of land for sale outside here, okay? In the valley here, okay? And even one of my employees here, and he bought land, you know? And it's actually the family who is with us for 30 years, okay? They have two double whites over there for two families to live in. And it's our trailers, okay? But when they want to build, this has to be moved, probably. They don't have a trailer park over there anymore, okay? I'd be telling them, why don't you, he bought land in the valley down there, not that far off the street, more or less when you go on 180, okay? And I said, why don't you buy yourself, your two family, buy a duplex? Build a duplex. You mean you have, my God, in Europe, after war, people went together and built houses. You have no, they rebuilt them. They built them again because everything was destroyed, you know. And I tell you, my brother built himself a beautiful home in Germany with some friends together, you know. I mean, when you wanted something built nice, love, more or less, you had to do it almost yourself. Because you did, the money was not really there. You don't talk about it, was, you know. Mm-hmm. And so they did it all together. My cousins, they all had beautiful homes in Germany, beautiful homes, okay? So why can you not build somehow a duplex? I mean, I lived in a duplex and it's beautiful. You can, you know, build a house down there. No, we are on a, that is, we work here, we want to live right here. That is, I mean, you live in a city, you cannot live next to you where you work, can you? Frank had to travel sometimes, you know, half hour to get to work and more. I mean, I don't understand, are the people that spoiled now? I don't understand, I really do not know. They are so spoiled, this is unbelievable. They want anything thrown in their lap, you know? But that worked the third, you know? And this is what bothers me most. I don't understand this. Because I didn't grow up this way. Do you know, I learned in a designer shop, okay? Clothes designing, I think you mentioned this, okay? Mm-hmm. And you know, every morning I drove for an hour and a half to work in a bicycle.
Right. Yes.
Somebody took me an hour, about all the traffic too. But you know, it was quite a way for me to get to the main city, okay, where the shop was, okay, you understand? And then in the evening back home, by rain and everything, okay? In the rain I had a crepe on, okay? You know? I mean, I don't understand it. So, nobody gave me a car to drive there, or I said, "Oh, the place is right next door. You can learn. No, I had to go that far, you know.
You did it yourself.
That's right, and I did it for 5 years. 5 years. In the winter time, I walked. And then even when we were children, school children, because we lived outside town, we had every morning, we had to walk almost 3/4 of an hour to get to school. And you know, we are sometimes for honored. Like a priest, our priest took us in and gave us cocoa and whatever, because we were the only one who always in school. We were there every day. We didn't miss it. And we had ice on the road and everything else, okay? Because that time in the war, it was not plowed, okay? There was nothing like plowing, okay? I mean, you walked through the snow, okay? You had boots on and walked through the snow. done. My mom sometimes, she made every week she made bread. She made her own bread, okay, because we had our own flour, okay. We had our own wheat, but we had, okay, and then we had flowers, okay. No, we took it to the miller. We call it the miller, and he, you know, prepared made flour out of it. You understand? So we had sacks of flowers at home. And for the, you know, so my mom baked bread, rye bread, beautiful big bread, okay? And so what happened, so in the morning we even carried those big baskets, they were in the basket, the dough in there, okay? And we carried it to the baker, to town. And after school we had to pick it up again, bring it home. Can you imagine?
That's neat. And it was fresh.
I can tell you stories, unbelievable, all kinds of stories here.
Well?
Yeah, that's what they as children, you know, talk about. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Or like getting, you know, feeding all our animals, getting all the meat in, all this and that, you know. Oh my God. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Well, I don't know what to do with that.
I don't know. We'll see.
You know, I don't know, okay? It's just a little bit of something. Mm.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Thank you.